Well, good evening, Harvest family. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I was encouraged over lunch today, as Michelle and I spent some time together and watched a little bit of the service, but it's so encouraging to think about how many people heard the gospel today. How many people, whether it be there present or via internet, satellite, television, whatever their media was that they use. And I trust and pray that the word of God will continue to go forth. And from that, quick story, and we'll have a word of prayer and start. I know that some years ago, Michelle's family and serving, I may have shared a little bit of something like this before. I can't remember. It's a good place to fit in here. But a family that drove by and watched them meeting every week for several weeks, months, and maybe even years to see if they were real, if they were going to stay, if they were going to be here. And eventually they did come in. Eventually they were led to Christ. And so it may take some time to see some fruit from this, the actual fruit. It may take some time to see, but I still hope and pray that some of the folks that heard and stood and made a decision will look for a place where the gospel is preached without apology and look for a place where they can grow and be mentored and encouraged in the things of God. And so I was definitely encouraged by that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we have our first How Fitting a Song, Send the Light, is our first song tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy and fellowship. And Father, I pray that the word of God would continue to go forth in our country, but also, Lord, around the world. How thrilling it is to think of how many people heard a clear presentation of the gospel today, and pray that many of them will understand what they need to do, if not just believe, but allow the Father to repent and turn to Christ. Father, bless our time together. May you be uplifted and glorified, and may we be instruments in your hand to send the light. And may many, many today and in coming days will take the opportunity to look and live because of what Christ has done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, those ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll get ready for our evening offering. All right, Brother Draper, you've got a lot of root ground to cover tonight. All right, ask God's blessings on our offering.
Gracious Heavenly Father, this evening, as we watched our television, as we saw the wonderful things being said of through our government, Father, we pray that it is real. We just thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and the number of times that our government officials said his name. It's a wonderful blessing. We just pray that there was true meaning there. We do pray for revival. We thank you for this opportunity that possibly could see that it could be started. We thank you tonight for this time we can fellowship and hear your word. We pray for our pastor that we lift him up, and Father, you would speak through him. Receive this blessing now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bibles tonight, we'll open to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. I think I've been in Arizona too long. I'm starting to get cold, Miss Carrie, every once in a while. John chapter 3. It's funny because there are some days that I'm sweating and I just get hot. And I'm going to be careful what I say. I'm going to get some people teasing me. I'm not going through menopause or anything, but I tell you, there are some days I'm hot, and there's other days I'm cold, and it doesn't matter. Some days I'm hot or cold and sweating at the same time. Go figure. Go figure. I might have to make an appointment with our Surgeon General over here. But John chapter number 3, and we'll continue tonight. Do you really know what you believe? And we're going to talk even more about salvation and give a little bit of an introduction and share some things tonight and see how it goes. Here's our little bit of a question introduction. What is it about biblical salvation that makes it such a stumbling block for the world? You know, so many people want to go their own way, do their own thing. They think salvation is Burger King. Have it your way, Mel.
As Paul says, to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, utter
foolishness. And we have to realize that. People are looking, and if they don't want to listen to what we have to say, we have to do our best to live our life out for Christ. And they might begin to ask questions or wondering, well, how can you be at such peace? What you're going through, how are you? And they might see the difference in that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The bottom line is we need to understand pride adopts the stance. I can have myself, or I can save myself by fasting, by good works, or other admirable acts. And it comes down to us realizing that we can't. We can't. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Bless our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, verse number 1, we'll read a few passages of scripture tonight. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came by Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now I want you to notice how Jesus turned what he is saying into something that Nicodemus needed, not necessarily what he was asking about. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter to the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I have said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth, whither it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Help me, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help us enjoy a time together in the word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as I mentioned, more about salvation. See, the message of the gospel is simply this. There is simply nothing we can do to save ourselves. We must let God save us or be lost. There's no other way. And here's the reason, because salvation is the work of grace. There's our first set of blanks. Salvation is a work of grace received by faith. In other words, it is not what we do, it is what God has already done. How do you spell salvation? D-O-N-E. It's already been done, but we need to look and live. We need to look to Christ. Tonight we will look at some of the ways that salvation is revealed. Here's a key word. How salvation is revealed so that people can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we talk about salvation, we're going to talk about the revealing of it. I was sitting in the office this evening, listening, enjoying the time of the choir practicing and talking and hearing them laugh and having a good time. It is a ministry. and enjoy that. And I've got my old handy-dandy digital dictionary out and looked at revealed and looked at the three different types of ways to use it. Number one, to make known through divine inspiration. Number two, to make something secret or hidden, public or generally known, to reveal a secret. And then the third, which is so important for us as believers, to open up to view. In other words, to display. And the best way we can present the gospel is not just by word, but the display of our life and how we live it. How is salvation revealed in your life? How are we allowing the Lord to reveal salvation in our walk with Christ? And don't misunderstand, it's not just a lifestyle evangelism that we need to live. We need to put words to it. But it's a lot easier to put words of what we live if we can back it up through the actions of our life. And right now is a great opportunity for the cover to be off, the world to be seen. Of the millions that have seen the program today that was there in Cardinal Stadium, what an opportunity to continue to allow the cover to be pulled back, to be put on display, our salvation. Number one tonight, salvation is revealed by a new birth. The new birth means there should be a change in our life. We've read our text as Nicodemus asked. So here's my question that goes with it. How would you describe the new birth in one sentence? I don't think I can, but I've got three sentences tonight, letters A, B, and C in our text. But how would you describe the new birth in one sentence? Salvation is revealed by a new birth. Letter A, salvation requires physical birth. Well, preacher, that's kind of a no-brainer. Yes, it is, but it is important. While this may, again, sound simplistic, you can't be born again if you haven't been born yet. And as Nicodemus asked, can I go into my mother's womb a second time? You must be born physically before any other nature can take place in your life. And there needs to be some changes. Even Nicodemus understood the necessity of a physical birth. In John chapter 3 of our text in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, there's more to it than just being born, or all people would be born saved. There's more to it. Letter B, salvation requires a physical birth. Letter B, salvation requires a spiritual birth. And I've mentioned this every week, and I'll say it again. I trust this kind of a survey or just laying a surface foundation for us to build upon and get into the Word and study, understanding salvation, understanding God, understanding the Holy Spirit, understanding who Christ was, that would help us better to live out our salvation so it can be revealed unto others. In verse 5 of our text in John 3, referring to a spiritual birth, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. See, physically a human is conceived and he is developed in an amniotic sack of fluid or a bag of water, but spiritually the new birth takes place when the Spirit of God places you into the body of Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. So salvation requires a physical birth. That can be easily revealed. You see me, I see you. But salvation requires a spiritual birth. And when a spiritual birth takes place, there should be some changes. I cannot go to Bluff City. Well, it's a little different now. I'm older. When I was younger, I could not go to Bluff City, Tennessee, in Bluntville area, where my dad was born, where he grew up, where he went to high school. And without running into someone my dad's age, someone I've never met before, and come by, hey, you look like a cook. Do you belong to Doug Cook? I said, yeah, that's my dad. Boy, you look just like him. We've had a spiritual birth. Do we look like Christ? Do we live like Christ? Do we walk like Christ? Do we talk like Christ? Is the covers been pulled back? Is it revealed that we are one of his? Again, I can't go to Bluntville without somebody wondering in. And now that I've gotten older, a little gray-headed, some of them might even think, boy, Cookie, you sure look good for your age. And I have to say, oh, it's not him, it's his son. But our appearance, our actions, our birth, it should reveal something. Salvation requires a physical birth, a spiritual birth, a literacy. Salvation requires the Word of God. The context of John chapter 3 is dealing with the physical and the spiritual aspects of the new birth. However, we cannot discount the importance of the water of the Word. Folks, without the Word of God, where would we be today? Without the Word, how would we describe? How would we know what we are looking for? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, it's the water of the Word that shows us our need. It's that reflection that allows us to see ourselves and what we have need of. It's the water of the Word that shows us our Savior. Boy, it's hard to read the Word of God without eventually getting to something that points to our Lord and our Savior. And it's the water of the Word that grows us into maturity. So how is Christ revealed in our life? There's the physical birth, there's the spiritual birth, and there's the Word of God. And I'm going to get back and emphasize once again, how much are we a reflection of Christ? How much of a word, of his word that we have taken in, that comes out? And by the way, it really needs to come out when we're under pressure. It should come out all the time, but especially when we're under pressure or having a tough time, it should ooze out of our life. Number two, salvation is revealed not only by a new birth, but in verse 7 and 8, salvation is revealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. It is revealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. Here's my question for this section. What are some of the things the Holy Spirit does in bringing us to a personal relationship with Christ? How does the Holy Spirit reveal that? How does the Holy Spirit lead us? Letter A, the Holy Spirit convinces people of their sin. Now, I had some concern here, and maybe that's not the right word. The Holy Spirit convinces people of their sin. At first, I thought about the Holy Spirit convicts, but here's the bottom line is, conviction doesn't always lead to salvation. There has to be a change of heart, a change of mind. That's why it's convinces. Yes, there's people right now that's under conviction and wondering after the gospel they heard this morning or last week or even today in Cardinal Stadium. But how long would that conviction change to the convincing that is needed for them to turn to Christ? John chapter 16 and verses 8 through 11. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. See, until the Holy Spirit opens our understanding, we see ourselves as being pretty good. We think we're good enough, or then we see maybe we're not good enough, and then we think through pride, as we talked about at the beginning, that we can earn our way. See, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will show us that kind of thinking is wrong. It's not biblical. It's so important to understand that the Holy Spirit does convince people of their sin, not only of their need for Christ, but even as believers. Don't want to step on any toes, so this is a rhetorical question. But how many of us, after salvation, begin to fight the conviction before giving up something that we needed to give up? We had to be convinced. We had to see and understand as the Lord works and convicts me of my life of things that I need to shed, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let there be, the Holy Spirit not only convinces people of their sin, but draws people to the Lord. He convinces and draws them into the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, the Holy Spirit draws people to the Lord. Oh, how encouraging it is to know that, and it's for us as believers, outside of salvation, the Holy Spirit drawing people to the Lord, but as a believer, how assuring it is when the Lord convicts us of sin. It's good evidence that we are one of His when we are under conviction. And therefore, we should be easily convinced that He is right and I am wrong. It can be hard. Just like this morning, I had to admit my wife was right again. We need to admit to ourselves, God is right. I need to get on board and I need to move in the direction that God wants me to move in. The Holy Spirit convinces people of their sin. The Holy Spirit draws people to the Lord. And let her see, the Holy Spirit baptizes people into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit has baptized us into Christ, who seals us and keeps us. Letter D, the Holy Spirit seals people for eternity. Boy, I'm glad eternity is a long time. It is forever. Ephesians chapter 1, again in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, dear friends, the Holy Spirit convinces, the Holy Spirit draws people to the Lord, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ, and He seals people for eternity. I'm so glad what our Lord and our Savior, our God, does stands forever. He doesn't just halfway do something. He fully puts Himself in it for us. Salvation is revealed by the new birth. Salvation is revealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. And then number three this evening, salvation is revealed by the testimony of those who looked and lived. Dear friends, those of us who have looked and lived under Christ, we need to make sure that our testimony is speaking. So here's my question for this small section. What do you think are some of the essentials of a biblical testimony? When you think about your walk, your testimony, when you think about those things, what are some of the essentials that is important in your life and your testimony of biblical testimony? Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. And the people spake against God and against Moses. I'll stop there for a moment. Our world has been doing that, speaking against God, speaking against us, speaking against the church. But their speech and their behavior should not change how we respond, should not change how we live. He says, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Here are the children of Israel complaining. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth. Neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that ye take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. A couple of things here in reference to salvation is revealed by the testimony of those who looked and lived. Letter A, they looked by faith. Just in the same way they looked by faith here with Moses in Numbers 21 before the coming of the Lord, we today are to look by faith. Letter B, they lived by fact. It's a fact. It's very clear. It is in the Word of God. You look to Christ. You repent of your sins. You look to Him and you will live. You will have eternal life. And we need to understand in our life should display facts. Evidence. It should reveal who we are in Christ and what the Lord has done for us. Yes, salvation is revealed by a new birth. Salvation is revealed in the person of the Holy Spirit, but salvation is also revealed in the testimony of those who looked and lived. How is our testimony? We're going to take just a couple moments tonight, and I'm going to get the hymn book and point something out to you, and then I'm going to share with you something and ask you to do the same. The first few phrases of our song that we sang tonight, Look and Live, I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. Dear friends, we have a message, and we are to live out that testimony. We are to allow it to be seen and to be revealed in our life. Verse 2, I have a message full of love, hallelujah. Yes, because of our Lord Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to give of himself, and we ourselves need to make sure we love this world enough that we live in, that we're willing to share Christ, let it be revealed in our life to make a difference. And verse 3, life is offered unto you, hallelujah. Yes, eternal life is offered unto any who will look and live, who will look to Christ. And number 4, verse 4, I will tell you how I came, hallelujah. In 1969, just before a birthday coming in November, it was the Easter season, and I had heard the gospel many times. And in children's church, once again, I heard the gospel. Once again, I realized my need for Christ, and I went forward in the children's church during an invitation in a little room off to the side when young boys and girls felt like they understand. They would go over during an invitation to another room, and a worker would sit down and talk with them and make sure they understood what sin was and why they needed Christ. In other words, if I did not understand what sin was and I was not looking to Christ for salvation, I was encouraged and thanked for coming, and someone prayed with me, but they didn't give me a false sense of security of salvation if I didn't understand. And it's important that we make sure that we're living that life and then make sure that someone understands. I always ask someone when they want to be saved, why? What I'm listening for is, I don't want to go to hell. It's what I'm looking for. It's what I'm listening for. And then so that day, having understood, I looked to my Savior and prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me and to save my soul. I have a message from the Lord, and now I'm to share. Who tonight, let's take a few moments, would like to share their testimony, short, of how they came or where they came to Christ as we look and live and share that tonight. Notice a common thing so far, teens and children. It's why it's so important to have a children's ministry. Why it's so important to have a ministry for young kids, as we've already shared testimonies, most being children or teens and younger when they came to know Christ. Anyone else? Well, isn't it a blessing just to, you know, I've mentioned this and I'll close. I've got a friend, and I mentioned him once before, and he just can't help but to smile. He bless his heart, he doesn't like it, but sometimes he took advantage, but he could pass for Magic Johnson, the basketball player's brother or twin, looks just like him. And he's used it many times playing basketball on the court just to get a crowd, because he's a good basketball player too, and to talk to him. But you cannot be around my brother without him wanting to sit down and after first meeting you or meeting you in a missions conference, meeting you in a church service, saying, hey, can we get together for coffee? And you can't hardly sit down. He said, oh, Let me share with you how Jesus saved me. And then when I get through, I want you to tell me how you got saved. He was just so infectious in that air and so excited about what the Lord was doing, and get so excited that not only the Lord saved me, but now he's called me to preach and to start churches. And he did start a church in the Washington, D.C. area. Dear friends, let's remember that our salvation, and let's let it be revealed. Let our new birth be revealed, that people might see who we are in Christ. Allow the person of the Holy Spirit have free reign in our life. And let's remember that we are a walking testament of the Word of God. And that we allow people to see our life and notice and recognize and see a difference. And right now, in the coming days, oh, what opportunity. So I'll give it to you right now before we close. We already have an opportunity. Can't wait to get out this week into the grocery store and ask someone, hey, did Did you see the memorial for Charlie Clark? Did you see the Kirk Memorial? How many people do you think saw it on television? I heard maybe close to 100,000 were there at the stadium, inside, outside, overflowing to the hockey arena. How many people do you think actually watched or heard around the world via internet? And just open that conversation to go in and lead it over to another area. Hey, did you make a decision, or did you had you already made a decision for Christ before this event? What an opportunity to begin sharing and talking about Christ and talk even more about salvation. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your Son, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Help us as believers to live out our faith. Allow our testimony to be revealed of who we are by all those around us. Father, may the covers be pulled back. And maybe allow ourselves to be vulnerable and reveal for people to see Christ in us and through us. And Father, would you use each one of us to make a difference? May the Holy Spirit have free reign in our life, in our speech, in our actions, as we take an opportunity to share our faith. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Lead, guide, and direct. Bless our time together. Bless our conversation. And Father, once again, thank you for Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for my Harvest family. And Father, thank you that I know that I have a family that's praying for me and my family as I pray for them. And Father, help us to continue to pray for our community and pray for revival. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Yes.